anybody think about what we talked about Sunday?
Yes.
Yes.
Did anybody come to any
conclusions?
Conclusions?
I don't know. I've been just bummed. Anytime I was quiet, everything just started hitting me. Just like, I mean, if I would be not doing anything, just today, I hardly slept very well because I just kept having these dreams about the sin offering, and just this. It was like in the dreams I was almost understanding, and yet it would never come. And then I woke up at 4 and I never got back to sleep. And today, the kids were about to drive me up the wall because they were at each other's throats. Just, it was so, you know, just screaming and yelling and hitting each other constantly, and, you know, just, I mean, it was every second I was turning around and stopping a conflict, and I thought, why can't they be nice to each other? And then it occurred to me that that's how human beings are. I mean, the only difference between me and them is that I've learned to hide it better, you know? It started hitting me that what the human race is, it's just, I mean, the way these kids were like a microcosm of the human race, because they were just at each other's throats constantly. It was just, I mean, you know, lying and trying to be mean and take stealing from each other, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, if someone would do something to them and they would just want to kill them. I mean, if, as far as a little kid could, it was just, it was wild.
It's like our world is, we have longer range. Self-seeking, if you can't see it, you know, put things off in order to get it, something further down the line.
There was a movie that I saw, that one of the few movies that I remember. It was called The Seven Faces of Dr. Lowe.
Yeah, that's Gary's favorite movie.
It's a pretty good movie.
And in the movie, there's a fortune teller. And I used to do this on the radio sometimes. I'd make fun of people, and I'd say, and I'd call up and have them give me their sign, and then I'd give them their horoscope.
It was always the same.
No. It was always different. But it was all kinds of stuff. And then I'd say, 87% of all known baby rapers are Scorpios, and you know, whatever it is. But the essence of it was that in moments of weirdness, that somebody wanted to know what was going to happen to them, and, you know, it was, I'd say, well, all of your dreams and all of your ambitions are not going to come true. You're going to live a life of total misery, except for the moments when you can act. You are going to die alone, and the worms are going to eat your flesh. All of your hopes for your children are going to be totally and completely vain. Nothing, your children are going to become criminals and murderers. Your best efforts, when you're the nicest, is only when you're trying to protect you or your own interests. When you're ever threatened, then your true self is revealed and you become a raging maniac. You know, those of you who are married, you're going to spend your lifetime wishing you weren't married, in the secret parts of your being. Those of you who are not married and have some dreams of something, some ideal mate, will find, if you find it, you'll find the ideal is a total pack of lies. Your hopes for tomorrow are worthless. This country is going to go through the biggest depression you've ever seen. It's going to make the 1929 depression seem like child's play. Your continued attempts at trying to better yourself will all fail. Most of you will spend your entire life in debt, never knowing peace, of what it means not to owe anybody anything. Your relatives are going to bug you for the rest of your life. You're slowly getting older and uglier. That's all fact. Oh, but I'm going to be different. Because I've got Jesus as my life. No, you're not. You're still going to get old and ugly. You're still going to get sick and hurt. Your little plans are still going to fail. It's truth. God is wearied with your little ambitions and your little plans. He's wearied with your constant attempts at being nice. He's especially worried at your attempts at being religious. He's especially really nauseous over your attempts at trying to please him or please your neighbor or please yourself. He's wearied at your attempts to do the right thing. You gotta see that. Speed up time in your mind for a minute. Just let time, let 10 years go by, and 20, and 30, and 40. Think of all your little hopes and dreams. They're all going to pass as the wind. Think of all your little desires for how good the flesh of your children tastes. You love to live on what you hope your children will be. It's eating your children. God sees it just as surely as you were taking a bite out of their arm, because you're escaping the reality of the emptiness of your own life by transferring that identity to the children. Just look at your attempts to try to change the people around you so that you don't have to suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Look at how you desire to make a fair show in the flesh. Look at how you continually try to establish the kingdom of God vis-a-vis the flesh. Got sick of it. Oh, if I hang around long enough, then I'll get what I want. So many of you have stuck around in unbelief for years. You've eaten my flesh for too many years. My flesh is stinks. I understand that there was at least a discussion about that it was me or my problem that the reason Sunday was so weird. That I had something hadn't gone right, so I was mad at everybody. See, we've reached a point where the sin offering must be apprehended, or we can't continue. We're a joke. And to apprehend the sin offering demands a radical change in your way of thinking about life, about the Bible, about God, about me, about yourself. It's a change so radical that it's impossible by your own strengths. Yeah. And if God isn't merciful in the ultimate form of mercy, we are without hope. You can't laugh it off, or sleep it off, or drink it off, or jack it off anymore. That gnawing suspicion deep in your gut that you've always felt has to be addressed. That gnawing fear that something isn't right. I could sit here and give study word meanings and historicity and typology of the sin offering till hell freezes over. It would do you absolutely no good, because you would appropriate it into the mainstream and the scheme of your own spiritual supermarket. And you'd use it as an instrument. Can you finally begin to comprehend that any concern you have for anyone, anything, anybody, any place, by definition, that concern is the secret attempt for self-divinity, thereby meaning and showing to God that you haven't apprehended the sin offering? Oh, but my concerns are so righteous. No. God sees it as an attempt at self-divinity. That's been fine up to now. When you were a child, you spoke as a child, you acted as a child. But now it's time to become the young man. And you must put away the childish things. You can no longer use as an excuse that you're seeing through the glass darkly. Am I communicating?
Yes.
To whom much has been given, much shall be required. You spent all this time thinking all this revelation stuff is neat. A lot of you wanted the grace of Isaac so you could have instant revelation rather than going through the struggle or the time that's required for the grace of Jacob or the grace of Abraham. Now you're going to pay the penalty for the revelation. It's called death. It's not optional. It's never optional, even for the slowest of the graces. Life proves it. You can't live your life with blinders on any longer. You can't make the arena so small that you can prove your idiosyncrasies and your ridiculous ideas about self and things and worth. You have to expand the tent to the edge of time and use that as the vehicle by which you judge truth. Oh, you're just getting weird. Right. You just like to holler at us. Right. If you disagree with me, yell at me. Am I on a trip because something in my life hasn't gone right? Then yell at me. I'm not yelling tonight. What is the crossover point? From God's standpoint, what is the spiritual crossover? I write unto you, young men, because you are strong and you have overcome the evil one. And again, well, I'm not ready for that, you can say. I say you are. Well, how do you have the right to do that? It's my job. The interesting part about the young man position is it's almost instantaneous to leave the young man and go to the father position. In the father position, you've abandoned yourself, you've forgotten yourself.
The crossover point is when the law, the tutors and governors have had their perfect work, and they have accomplished what they are to accomplish, which is to show that sin is exceedingly sinful and to shut the mouth.
Right. Now you have a far more clear picture of sin than almost, I mean, God has given us a grace to see something that is, again, from any literature, I don't know that anyone else has seen since the time of the disciples. You've seen the high place identity and its ultimate evilness. And you've seen that that's been your identity. So when the scripture talks about sin that dwelleth in me, you don't have the luxury of thinking that's some philosophical principle or spiritual idea. You can empathize with it because you felt it. You felt the fear. If you haven't felt it directly yourself, you felt it indirectly by observation. Maybe some of you didn't feel fear in the hot seat. Do you remember that time? Call to memory the pit from whence you were digged, that's what it says.
Sin has a face.
Hmm?
Sin has a face.
Remember what I've told you about belief and faith? If you go swimming, you believe you'll drown if you get in the deep water, you will drown if you get in the deep water. If you believe you will die unless you live by the principles of this world, then you will die if you live, if you don't live by the principles of the world. You all can say outwardly that I don't believe in the principles of the world. But your actions and your concerns and your words prove you do. That's the area that proves that you haven't accepted the sin offering. Am I going too fast for you? The law enters that the offense might abound. Now, Paul said over and over, I write unto you that know the law. So you're beginning to know the law. It's not really important about whether or not what you think about something any longer. I mean, subjective truth, we've never really let you get by with subjective truth in this group, but you really did. Because most of you didn't have the guts to challenge me, but you really believed what your own belief, you know, that's just Ole saying something. I'm a pussycat. Challenge me, test it on me, I'm easy. Don't wait to test it in the judgment seat. Nothing I've said, nothing that has been said in these last few days is any different than anything else you've ever heard me say. Hopefully it's more clear. Hopefully the lighter rain, the clarity of that bell is beginning to ring in your head. Your stupid little games aren't going to get... God is looking at you from your outward activities. That's how he knows the comprehension. And the seed must fall into the ground with understanding. And the only thing is that's keeping that seed from its perfect course, the way, is your own idolatry. Your own graven images that you've protected and kept and held. Because it gives you self-divinity.
Does that tie into what you've just finished saying about belief? That we believe that if we don't walk according to the world, that we'll die?
That's right.
Is that part of that?
That's right.
So what you're sort of saying is we're still back to confession and it didn't work right, or what?
I'm saying what?
Well, the high place thing. Sitting in the hot seat, is that what we're back to?
God probably wants us on the hot seat every day.
We're just checking daily.
For this cause, I die daily.
Yeah.
Until it so penetrates the neurons and the synapses that your brain cells begin to move in different patterns.
So sin is always worse.
But the reason we couldn't take communion Sunday night is because all of you have been playing with the dead body.
not sure if I understand what you mean by with the dead body.
You're giving breath to the dead high place identity. Remember, we studied that for 3 nights. Now, Libby and maybe somebody else can say, well, I didn't complete my high place. I haven't done it yet. Well, that's no excuse. It's been dead since the cross.
Something left to do. Something in our behavior is not right. And if we change our behavior, then the gospel will start working on us.
It's not behavior. It's mind.
Well, is the gospel its own dynamic, or is there something that we have to do to make this start taking effect? Is it not the hearing of the word and the seeing of revelation sufficient, or is there any energy that we must expend to make this thing go?
One, ever and always, repent. Repent. Turn from self. Ever and always. As soon as you see that that part of it stinks and it's dung, I don't want to do that anymore. As long as you think there's value in the dung, you'll play it. As Paul said, the dog returns to his own vomit.
Yeah, I think what you're asking for is if there's resistance, or you know, if there's something we say, you know, I still think this is valuable, then you can throw more preaching at it. It'll come through eventually. But if you don't, you know, say whatever there's resisting that the word, then it won't ever, you know, it'll be a secret kind of thing.
Let's analyze sin a minute. Remember, I told you that the Holy Spirit's work in the world is to convict us of sin. Preaching's function is to destroy. Now, the problem is that your minds use the work of the Spirit in your life. Okay, I mean, stop and think. How many obstacles has God put in your path? But you obstinately and determinedly forge on ahead in the strength of the wrong power to get your way. And so when you hear preaching, or you feel the work of the Spirit destroying, convicting, many of you use that as an excuse for doubting and unbelief. And you think it's spiritual to do that. The spiritual man hears the preaching and he feels nothing but joy. Why? Because he's apprehended the sin offering. And he sees the depth of it, and he looks here and sees the totality of it, of that offering, and he says, praise God, it's covered. And there's never an attempt for self-justification or concern for self. That's the position I want you in. And think. You know, I make a lot of you nervous. Just think how nervous you'll be when the fucking world starts to shake. I mean, if I can make you nervous, a pissant like me, What are you going to do when the world shakes? I'm nothing. Okay, let's go to school for a minute. First thing you have to know is that sin is a person. Trespass is an act. Sin is a person. Capisce? That person that sin is Satan, or the child of Satan, or the Antichrist, guised in the various high place identities. But it's a person. Everybody understand that? Nobody wants to argue with me. You all understand that, okay? The essence of sin is self for self. You got that? It's not self for hoping to be spiritual self, or self for hoping to be better self, or self sorry that it's not a better self, or self sorry for that it's been a bad self. It's sin is always in essence, when you take away all the guise, all the religious bullshit, all the humility, all the sincerity, sin is self for self. Everybody understand that? Please don't shake your head if you don't understand it. Let's talk about it if you don't. Sin, then, by definition, because of the perfect work of Christ, sin is the illusion of the separation from God. You got that?
Not quite. How can it be a person and an illusion? Because the illusion...
Because we're going to find out, we're going to find out that that person is dead. Therefore, separation is impossible.
Well, so you're thinking, if we're so sinful and we trespass all the day long, how can there not be separation? If that person is dead, if that body of sin and death is dead, then there is no separation.
Amen. So sin is the illusion of the separation, you being separate from God. Sin is the illusion of the railroad tracks running together and the train's going to crash. Sin is the... God so designed us so that our perception, our range of perception, is so narrow. Again, we take the possible audio spectrum, and we can hear a very narrow range of the audio spectrum. We take the light spectrum, we can see an even narrower of the light spectrum. We take the possible sensory perceptions, we can feel and touch only a very narrow perception of it. We go through life thinking this is solid. If we could see the way God sees, he'd see space. Do you understand? Your determination of the world is based on your sensory perception of the world, and God has designed you so that you have a very limited sensory perception of the world to prove to you that your perceptions are wrong. Understand? Huh?
I'm not sure what.
Well, again, the idea that we see ourselves by sight as separate from God, separate from each other. The independent self, the illusion. I'm just showing you that the all of life is an illusion. Nothing that I can see in any of you is alive. Your hair is dead, your skin is dead, everything in you is dead. Everything that you can see outwardly is dead, but I'm alive. Okay, so in essence then, sin is the lie that I am an independent self capable of good and bad actions. I'm capable of success or failure. I'm capable of praise or condemnation. I'm capable of feeling good or bad. I'm capable of doing good or evil. That's the lie. It's all from the root cause of thinking that you're an independent self separate from God. Do you understand the magnitude of what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wild.
Is this something new tonight? I mean, have I
forgot? No, but it seems.
He has a royal.
Somehow you're saying it different.
God's mercies are new every day.
You're getting better.
You're not getting older.
Kind of in the line of separation.
We are not capable of expressing anything other than he who dwells within us.
Amen.
Somehow, mm-hmm. I'm having trouble tying whatever repentance is into this. Doesn't seem there's any room for it if what you just finished saying is true.
Yeah, because you just forgot that the lie of the Antichrist. He sets himself up in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be as God. I want you to empathize tonight the depth of the lie of your mind.
So is repentance then a lie?
The repentance is turning from the Antichrist to the total abandonment of self.
Repentance is turning from the lie, right?
Repentance is turning from the lie. You are not capable of good or evil. You are not capable of bad or good. You're not capable of praise or condemnation. You're not capable of success or failure.
No matter how many times you said it, until right now, I have always thought that repentance was a moral act.
No.
So I think you can see it clearly.
You know, Holly, when you say this stuff, it makes it so hard for me to lay a trip on Jackie about
anything. Amen. Makes it so hard to lay a trip about anybody and anything once you see this, except to lay a trip on him, the ultimate trip of stop believing the lie. I can make it sound so bad, and I'll know from now on when I preach to you and you start smiling when I'm preaching to you like that. Do you understand? You are not capable of good or evil. You are not capable of success or failure.
That's why you don't repent from those things.
That's right.
The one thing that just totally back to my mind, if I was looking for an argument to prove it, is the fact that, like, you can believe anything else. You can tell me the sun is 93 million miles away, and you can tell me, and I'll remember it, and I won't forget it. You know, but you can tell me that. Like, 10 seconds later, I can't remember it.
Your brain goes,
10 seconds later after that, I can't remember it. You know, it's like, because I know, I can see the fact that the lie is so thorough and so complete.
Yes.
Why capable? Why is that the word?
Because that's the word that I decided to use tonight. You are not able, you are not...
Okay, then why aren't you capable? Why?
Because you're not an independent self.
Because you don't exist.
You don't exist as an independent self. Judy Buckner is a hunk of protoplasm that's an accident. That came from another accident, that came from a series of other accidents. But you have been given by design an identity to test your true identity, to come against it with everything, so that God can say to the world, the flesh, and the devil, take your best shot. So that you're fully perfected and holy in all good work. So that he truly is the way, nothing to do with you. And when you see that, you see through the lie of this mind, you have overcome the evil one, and you do nothing but abandon yourself in perfect freedom and harmony. You stop giving breath to the lie. That's the whole essence of life. The truth is that the evil one has been overcome. That's the reason for the cross. That's the reason his works have been destroyed. Past tense.
What were you starting to say about him being dead?
He's dead. He's cast out. I write unto you, young men. I write unto you, little children. Well, let's go back to the other one.
When
the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He'll convict the world of sin because they believe not. And again, believe not is a terrible translation, but they hang their life not on me. 24 hours a day. He'll convict the world of sin because they believe not in me. He'll convict the world of righteousness because he's gone to the Father. And he'll convict the world of judgment because the prince of the world has been judged. It's finished. It's done. It's over. You are now, the human race is incapable of anything other than believing that lie. The lie of separation from God. The whole human race is Israel. A vessel. We're just vessels that contain. We have a lie in here that says we continue to walk in our own ability of self-seeking. We can do success or failure. We can do good or evil. That's the lie here in our minds. It's gone. It's a lie. It's a ghost. It's dead.
Believing the lie is only going to give people life.
Well, it gives them this. It gives them misery. Now, let's come to the understanding. Let's apprehend the sin offering. Let's see what that sin offering really was. Let's see that in that separate identity, we are totally sin, incapable of anything. And then let's rush to apprehend the offering that's perfect. Once and for all time.
I think maybe for the first time, I clearly see how sucky religion is, because, you know, religion is based on the idea of separation between you and God. You're somebody separate from God, doing something for God,
man.
Rather than...
Makes me freak out about Christ's sacrifice, just because I see myself more and more, and I think, you know, if he had to put on just me, how awful that would have been. He had to put on everything.
See, until we get this straight, we're always trying to do something or expecting somebody else to do something.
Wow, wait a minute.
Doing,
to that doing. When it says he took upon him the sin of the world, that doesn't mean he took upon him trespasses.
No.
He took upon him
the sin.
Us.
Yeah. Everything about him. Everything about
him. Okay, now I'm going to give you something that I hope will scare the shit out of you.
Wait a minute. Before you do that, hold it. Where does the trespass offering fit in?
That's what we're going to see. We said it already. I said it to you 100 times, but you don't understand. The trespass offering is the instrument by which the child tests the boundaries.
I'm not that. I'm talking about if he took on the sin of the world, he didn't take on the trespass of the world.
He took on both of them.
Everything in all the offerings.
All five of them.
They're all part of it.
And what you see now as trespass is simply the child coming into the fullness of who he is. It's Christ wetting his pants. Please, 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 please see, you can't ever again be separate. It's impossible. You're totally free. Perfect love has cast out all fear. Fear of what? Fear of torment. Torment is a bad translation. We'll see it in 1 John in a minute. But it's torment is the fear of punishment. Some of you are still walking in the fear of punishment. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop. That is not justifiable. That is another attempt at self-divinity.
Yeah.
Because it's still the lie of the independent self. Doesn't matter whether the independent self feels good or bad, he's independent.
It also means that you can do good and not get the other shoe dropped on you.
That's right.
It means that both shoes didn't drop on Christ, but they really did.
Right.
By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So don't try to perfect yourself. That's blasphemy. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to try to perfect yourself. And to put it down a little bit scarier, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is trying to change yourself. Because you have made a joke of the offering.
You're saying, just like Satan did to Christ, come on, do my way, you be king of the world.
And be king of your world.
Yeah.
Please hear this. Think about these things. You can't do evil. You can't do good. You can't have successes. You can't have failures. You can't have praise. You can't have condemnation.
Can I ask just one more thing? It kind of goes along with what Denise said. She said that what about trespasses? You said that because it's the young child, you know, bumping in here and there. What is the nature of trespasses after you become a young man?
That's not your business. Never is your business. You're swallowed up. Your life is not your own under any circumstances.
See, if you
can't apprehend the sin offering
in another way,
then you apprehend the trespass offering. But once you apprehend the sin offering, the trespass is swallowed up.
Amen.
Yeah, if you could think of it that way, you would have just sneaked it in another way. You know, now I'm a young man. Now I got to think about my trespasses.
No, I'm just wondering if
no, the point is. The real point is that in either case, mm-hmm. you're going to trespass.
Right. That's what I was wondering.
You're going to trespass by your definition, but the trespass offering is apprehended.
But it all has to do with this.
Right.
Will never be
perfected
after
Christ. Whereas yeah. Seeing the sin offering, I'll sing all of a sudden. It's like those different stages. Represent these different offerings somehow and the way they're apprehended, you know, to sit down and eat, you know, at the table, the peace offering is, you know, correlates to an understanding or something.
The young man position.
And yet at any time you're able to, you know, glimpse some of them and do, you know, like you'll trespass or whatever, but it's...
That's why you ever... I mean, you all... Yeah, and there's no question. You know, that we're going to study 1 John and as a part of this, because this is what 1 John was addressing.
When you said that one about you're not your business, something in time, you just want to be
it's great. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you all things freely. In your own time, read all of Romans 3, read Romans, read a bunch of Romans, read 3 through 8 at least. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Didn't say anything about your obedience. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. What offense? The offense of the independent self. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thus, as sin hath reigned unto death, whose death? Yours. That's what you have to personalize. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It's not an option. It's a revelation. Know you not. That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We got the word should there, so we think it's an option. Doesn't mean that. You will walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. It's that whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap. It's not talking about sowing money to get more money. It's sowing. The act of sowing is the act of, again, reckoning yourself a permanent resident of the New Jerusalem. And you can only do that by baptism. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that we henceforth should not serve sin. How can you serve it? It's dead. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Therefore, the lie is that you're alive, that you're separate. Am I communicating? Let me skip down to something else here. It says, for sin, in verse 14, for sin, you read the rest of it, but I want to get on something else here. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. The strength of sin is the law. Mind-blowing concept. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? What does that mean?
That's so confusing.
Who you yield yourself to? You yield yourself to the evil one, vis-a-vis the ally of the independent self, or you yield yourself to God, and thereby live in the resurrection of his life. Do you understand? Do you understand the concept? Please understand this. You or Christ or Henry Kissinger or anybody else cannot be under the law until you are reach the age of the law. I mean, that's the law. The law says that you cannot be under the law, therefore if you can't be under the law, there can be no offense. I mean, do you understand? If there's no law, there's no offense. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You, by definition, can't be under the law until you are what now they call bar mitzvah. That means bar mitzvah when you become the young man. But it's not you becoming the young man, it's him becoming the young man, and he perfected the law. So you don't have to worry about that either. You don't have to worry about screwing up when you're a little kid, because he was there. You don't have to worry about screwing up when you're an adolescent, because he is your life. You don't have to worry about when you screw up when he is a young man, or when you're a young man in the Spirit, for he is the young man in the Spirit. You don't have to worry about screwing up when you're in the father position, for he is in the father position. It's the way. It's the way. It's inexorable. You have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so also shall you be in the likeness of his resurrection. It's not optional. It's only your mind that is lying to you. By lying, it says that you are separate from that perfect way. You can never be separate from the way. And if you can't be separate from the way, you cannot be under those things like good and evil, good or bad, success or failure, praise or condemnation. They're meaningless.
Amen.
You shall no longer be... I got to read you something. Second... I forgot what it is, but I'll read it anyway. I remember where it is. 2 Corinthians 1.
It's a hot scripture.
Verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen. In other words, there's not yes and no. There's not depression and happiness. There's not revelation and it's all are in him yea and amen. You are no longer subject to yes and no, yea and nay. And every time the evil one tempts you by trying to convince you that you're in a nay position, the promises of God are in him, yea and amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the mind that's the evil one, the Antichrist, that's purpose. He's purposed there to test the innocence of that life within you. Don't be thinking that strange concerning the fiery trial that's come upon you to try you as though some strange thing had happened to you. It's why you were born. Amen. Think it not strange if for a time you're even depressed. It's why you were born. He is faithful. Think it not strange if for a time, for the chastisement, that you are without money. It's his business. Don't sit there and try to figure out how to get it. Understand it from it's from him. Acknowledge him in all your way. That doesn't mean, okay.
All your way where you are.
It means whatever it is that you're doing, it's him that's doing it. Yeah. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Yes, he would.
Bite your tongue.
The promises of God are in him, yea, and in him. Amen. The amen is important because it's your acknowledgement of so be it.
Right.
Now your mind loses its power over you. The lie of separation no longer it can be seen through in an instant.
Been sitting in a practice room practicing thinking this must be me practicing because God wouldn't do this, you know.
Of course he'd do it. As he is in the world, so are you. That's not an option.
It's like him working at being a carpenter when he wasn't really ever going to be a carpenter, you know. It was just part of
it's him.
It's part of what his test was or something. That's why.
Is this penetrating a little bit?
Yeah.
Just remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just remember. The depth of the thing that I started this evening out with, you got to have felt that, right? I mean, you got to know that it's all going to get screwed up.
Not, oh, great, another evening like the Sunday I missed.
Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For this light affliction worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. We look at things not seen. We no longer look like the Gentiles look at the things that are seen. We look at the things that are not seen. We look and see, and we see the perfection. We see the finishedness. We know that the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, for the kingdom of God is within us. That's all that God, that's it. Then it's the Father's good pleasure to give you all things freely. Give you, give you, give you. You're no longer living in the illusion of earning. You no longer ever have to worry about establishing your own rights. You'll have stopped the need to condemn yourself. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. And if you stop condemning yourself, you will, by definition, you will instantly lose the need to judge anyone else. Perfect love will have cast out all fear. For fear is torment. The word torment there means punishment. And God can't punish. So you see all this stuff, you see the sin, you see the depth of it, you see, Father, I'm not even able to raise up my eyes unto you. I deserve nothing. I am the chief of sinners. And then all of a sudden, in that same instant, you apprehend the sin offering. Amen. And every time that temptation comes to put your eyes back on yourself, I no longer live. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, something's going on here. I live, but it's not me that liveth. But Christ that liveth in me, not sometimes, not yes and no, not sometimes, not if I'm being good or feeling good, all the time. There's never a time when he isn't. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Therefore, my propensity to be careful, my propensity to protect me and mine, is gone.
Now I know what it means to bring every thought captive to obedience.
Amen. And then, as we apprehend this offering, then we can move to the peace offering. And we then, in that peace offering, we walk in the light, as he is in the light, because it's God's table. And therein have we fellowship one with another. Therein know we no man after the flesh. Therein, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. Now we can go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of the doctrines of Christ about baptisms and sacrifices and faith of God and eternal judgment and all that other crap. That's all child's play. And this we will do if God permit. And then we'll apprehend the fullness of the peace offering. And in that peace offering, we'll apprehend the fullness of what grace means in terms of meeting every need that we can possibly have all the time. And then we'll go on to the meal offering, and then finally the burnt offering. We will see the sweet savor. And we look, and that thing that we call self is gone forever. Perfect love cast out all fear. There's no fear in love. It's not that you should love your brethren, you can do nothing else. It's not that you should prefer their interest over your own, you can do nothing else. Man? Anybody have anything else?
When we're moving through this process that you've just talked about of apprehending the offerings and peace offering and meal offering and burnt offering and all that, that all takes place in Jerusalem as Israel.
Yeah, we bear his reproach outside the camp.
Right. As individuals, which you can't even say, but I I mean, there's nothing, there's no improvement, there's nothing.
But I want you to see something else. When he says we bear his reproach outside the camp, it has a predicate to that. It says we go unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach outside the camp. It's he's outside the camp there. He's outside camp bearing his reproach. I mean, it's never you.
Yeah.
It's not you going out there alone saying, oh my God, like some of these Indian, you know, all these little rites of passage that go on. Those are all a primitive lie of the original primal truth. The rite of passage, when you go, again, from the adolescent to the young man, or to manhood, which is in all ancient cultures, the rite of passage was all a metaphor for Christ. They don't know it because it's been polluted. So only the strong can make it through the rite of passage. God says, I've already done that, folks. You don't have to worry about it. But I want you to leave here tonight with one idea, that you can never again do good or evil. You can never again have success or be a failure. You can never again have praise or condemnation. You can only express that which you contain. And whatsoever you do in thought, in word, in deed, you'll do as unto the Father, not as an option, but as a revelation. That you'll never again, in all your ways you will acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, not as an option, but as a revelation of what is the real activity. And we haven't finished the sin offering, but apprehend what I've said tonight. You must first see your need for the sin offering before you can apprehend the sin offering. As long as you live in the illusion that you can get better, then you can't possibly apprehend a sin offering. I mean, I know I can't get any better. And I'm pretty bad. Amen? Anybody have anything else? Take it, big guy.